During his weekly Republican meeting on Tuesday morning, Representative Thomas Massey upped the ante when he stood and called on Johnson to resign after announcing that he had signed on to Marjorie Taylor Greene's plan to depose him, known as the motion to vacate. So now you've got Thomas Massey, who's actually a respected member of the House, in my view, joining Marjorie Taylor Greene, whom I would not place in that same category, both of whom are now threatening to vacate the Speaker's gavel. This means that if Democrats chose not to rescue Johnson, Republicans would need just a simple majority to oust their second speaker in 6 months. And MSN believes that this would cause the House to descend into chaos during an election year when their slender grasp on the majority is at stake. Republicans appear seriously divided on the, on the effort to eject Mike Johnson, but also on foreign aid bills. That's what this really comes down to. It's the Ukraine funding and it's the Israel funding. And the opposition to the funding is stronger on the Ukraine side because I think people have what's called war fatigue, funding fatigue, project fatigue. I face this all the time in my daily life. Some of the things that we do in people's houses take longer periods of time than people think that they should. For example, if we're going to gut the place, tear out some walls, take out the floor, take out all the drywall, maybe rewire it, let's fix this plumbing, let's move this wall over here, let's add a bathroom where there never was one. Well, that can take like 6 weeks to get all that done. And sometimes you get what's called project fatigue. You're like, every day I'm so tired of my house being torn up. I'm so tired of the workers being here. I'm so tired of the trash or whatever it is. I don't like the dumpster sitting outside. I don't like this or that. And you just get over it. Well, we've been writing checks to Ukraine for like 2 years. I don't know if this phrase exists, but it's called funding fatigue. I have funding fatigue. I experience it all the time. I have funding fatigue over practically all of our foreign aid. I have funding fatigue over our federal Leviathan. I have funding fatigue over Planned Parenthood, which still gets funded and receive more dollars even under the Trump administration than any past president. Massey said he warned the speaker in a private conversation weeks ago that if the motion to oust him was called to the floor and Democrats did not bail him out, Republicans would be successful in removing him as speaker because we're steering everything towards what Chuck Schumer wants. Chuck Schumer wants to fund Israel. He wants to fund Ukraine. He wants the slush money going around the world because Chuck Schumer ultimately is going to get some of that back. The motion is going to get called, okay? Does anybody doubt that? The motion will get called, and then he's going to lose more votes than Kevin McCarthy, Massey said, referencing the previous GOP speaker who lost the gavel with 8 Republicans, joined all Democrats to oust him. That was back in October. That was really exciting. Poor McCarthy. You know, I actually kind of feel badly for McCarthy because he's not the worst guy that's ever been Speaker of the House. I mean, for goodness sakes, he's not Nancy Pelosi. McCarthy was a pretty solid ally of Trump during the Trump administration, and he was just like your standard GOP Republican. He didn't really do anything wrong. It's not like the Marjorie Taylor Greene wing of the Republican Party really has that much power. It's not like they have a real vision for governing. It's not like any of them are fascists, okay? Now, if there were fascists in the House and they were like, "Hey, listen, Johnson, you're not fascist enough. We're going to put someone in who's going to ban pornography, who's going to ban usury. We're going to put someone in who's going to start millstoning perverts." I would be like, okay, Finally, let's vacate this guy. But Massey and Green and Boebert and all of them, Matt Gaetz, they don't have a plan. There's no real plan that they have. There's no alternative that they're putting forward. That's like, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to start millstoning the perverts. Okay? We're going to legislate it. We're going to back some fascist dictator who's going to come in and just clean house finally. No, what is their plan? Well, we're going to cut taxes for the rich. We're going to let it trickle down like Reagan did. Listen, the world is different than it was 40 years ago, okay? 40 years ago, you could be a single income family working in a blue collar job and you could buy a house and a car. Your wife could stay home and raise the children and you could survive. That dream is gone. That America is gone. That nation doesn't exist anymore. This Thomas Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene bullshit doesn't cut it. We're going to go back to the way things were 40 years ago. Well, guess what? Nobody's going back. There is no going back. It's been taken from you. It's been deprived from all of us. There is no 1980s. There's no Cold War. There's no purchasing power. There's no gold. There's no economic security. There's no economic opportunity. There's no safety in the streets. There's no rule of law. Those days are long gone. And for these people to stand around and pretend that they are appealing to your nostalgia for the 80s, your false nostalgia for Reaganomics, without ever telling you the truth that it's impossible, it's gone, the ship has sailed, the Titanic has sunk. It's showmanship. That's all it is. It's Hollywood. It's not statescraft. It's not statesmanship. It's acting. And it's taking advantage of angry Xers and boomers. And the reason why the Xers and boomers are angry is slightly different. Look, the boomers are angry because they're on their third wives and their children don't talk to them. So they're just angry personally in their personal lives, okay? They're angry because after the sexual revolution that they brought into this country, they never really found happiness. The Xers are angry because they see that the country got wrecked and they want to go back to a place that makes more sense, but their cynicism and their realism and the fact that they're 55 years old and they realize there is no going back. They're like, okay. And they've had it with American politics. The millennials, that's my generation. We're lost. So I don't even bring us up. We're an impotent political force in this country, okay? The only thing that I can tell you about millennials is we can't buy houses. We can't live the American dream. And the boomers are looking at us and like, what's wrong with you? You need better work ethic. Well, sir, we are working. A lot of us are working our asses off. Now, can I say that of the Gen Z, of the Zoomers? Of the Gen Y, of the people that came after us? No, I don't think I can, because they're all clutching their anxiety cats. They have prescription anxiety cats, and they're like, oh, you can't talk to me like that. But as far as I know, the people that I hang out with, which would be millennials and Xers, Everybody's working as hard as they can. How can we possibly put in more work? And how can you, Mr. Boomer, tell me that 75 hours isn't enough?